Sometimes we wonder. We ask that question, why? Why does God allow certain things to happen to us? Why do we have to go to through trials, hardships, and difficulties in this life? I mean, that I think that is an interesting question. It's a good question to ask. Why? I mean, we're puzzled. We don't know. I mean, sometimes we go through things that are really out of our control. And we love to be in control of certain things, but you know that you won't be in control all the time. We ask why pain and suffering in this world. Last week we looked at Job, the book in the Bible that shows us and teaches us about pain and suffering. Remember, Job went through a lot, even though as a righteous man. You see, the whole idea of Job's suffering was a test to his integrity. Satan thought like, well, Job is praising you and blessing you, you know, and he's a believer in you, God, because you're blessing him. But if you take away his blessing, he will not worship you. He will curse you. So the whole suffering of Job was a test to his integrity and to his faithfulness to God. In the midst of the suffering, Job still said, the Lord gave, the Lord took away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And then Job even said, shall we only get good things from God? Shall we not get trouble and adversity? I mean, we deal with that topic, with that theme of pain and suffering. We struggle, we question, why does God allow pain and suffering in this world? Why do you and I have to go through trials and tribulation? Well, the Scripture, the Bible gives us answer to those questions. You see, the Christian worldview is a worldview that provides answer to some of those hard to deal with questions that we're puzzled with in this life. All the worldviews, they try to ignore pain and suffering, but the thing is, you cannot ignore it. It's all over the place. You even decide, you know, I'm gonna have this attitude that I'm not gonna pay attention. You gotta be crazy. I mean, it's all over the place, and you're gonna go through. So, the Scripture, the Bible gives us insights and gives us understanding. It will give us the answer to deal with pain and suffering. I mean, God, in the Scripture, we use suffering for His glory. That's the story of Job. At the end of the story, he was glorified because he gave God the glory. So God will allow us to go through trials because for His glory, ultimately. He's going to glorify through what it is you go through. That's the story of Joseph in Egypt. Joseph was sold by his brothers. He was sent into a different country. And you know, at the end of the day, he told his brother, yes, you wanted to harm me, but God used that mess and utilized it for His good. And because of that, I was able to save a whole bunch of people now in all Egypt. Joseph became the governor, but in order for him to be the governor, he had to be betrayed. He had to be thrown into a cistern, into a pit. He got to be sold twice as a slave. He got thrown in jail for 2.5 years for something he did not commit. Tell me about suffering. And at the end of the day, he said to the brothers, you know, I'm not God. I forgive you. Really? I forgive you, because he understood that God was working all those years, even when he was in prison, and told this guy, hey, when you go and talk to the king, remember me. The guy did not remember Joseph, and he was there, and God still was with him. And Joseph understood that in Egypt, and look where God brought him, because he understood God still has a plan. God's still in control, even when I don't feel like he is, even when I don't know how he's going to make a beautiful masterpiece out of this messed up pain. I mean, he's still in charge. He's still in control. So God will use suffering in Scripture for our sanctification, to make us more like Jesus. Because we know we're still a work in progress for God. He's not done with you and I. We still have issues that we need to work out. And sometimes God will allow certain things, hardships to go through, to develop us more into the people that he wants us to become. It's more like the whole idea, you hear this phrase, no pain, no gain. I mean, sometimes people that work out, they can tell you, you wanna build muscle, you gotta go through a lot of pain. Or you wanna lose weight, but now, you know, somebody can out, just take this pill. That's not pain. And sometimes it doesn't even work. Sometimes you gotta sacrifice yourself. Maybe you have to sacrifice yourself not eating certain chocolates and certain things. That's painful for a lot of people. But no pain, no gain. If you wanna accomplish certain things, you have to go to school and train and go to homework. Kids don't love homework. Anybody here who loves homework? But why do we have to go? Why does the teacher have to give us homework? Because when we have passed this homework, we move to the next level. Until you show me that you got it, you're still gonna be stuck. I mean, sometimes God uses suffering to develop us into the men and women that He expects us to become. Sometimes, like again, He uses suffering and pain and trials to build our character. He uses our suffering also for the good of others. The scripture said that sometimes when we have gone through that, we can help somebody else that's going through the same issues. It says like He comforts us with the comfort that we receive from others. Like, you know, like how you can now intervene and help somebody. So, you know, I've been there before. You know, and the Lord helped me. And now you can support that, praying for the family. God utilizes that for us. And today I just want to touch on one of those. How, you see, there's purpose even in the trials we go through. You know, some of us are parents. The kids don't understand why we sometimes tell them not to do certain things. And they don't know. They think that we're just like bad parents. We're bad mommy, bad daddy. They had no idea that you have a plan and purpose, that you want to see that kid grow and be successful tomorrow. They don't get it yet. Sometimes we act the same way towards God. He's still doing something. It's like, I want this. I mean, even there, the Bible says that He doesn't give us all we want. He will meet our needs, not necessarily our wants. In other words, when I show you like why, the whole idea of God uses suffering and pain and trials, you see, God's still in control. In the scripture, we see God has a plan in allowing us to go through certain things. He allowed the disciples to go be thrown in jail because of the preaching of Jesus. He allowed His own son to be nailed to a cross by people that hated the Jewish nation. Why? And He still had a plan. And Jesus understood it. He says, not my will, but yours be done. And for that suffering that He went through, Isaiah said it this way, by His wounds, you and I are healed. Our healing would not have taken place unless the Messiah would have been killed and sacrificed. He took our place. God still has a plan in place. Now, I know we'd rather not go through the trials and painful situations in this life, but the reality is that as long as you and I live in this fallen world, we're going to go through pain and suffering. We're going to go through trials. It's everything. Even Jesus said to people, that's why I hate the prosperity gospel people out there. They're always telling like, oh, God's going to bless you. But yeah, the blessing might be through suffering sometimes. Oh, send this offering to the church and the Lord's going to... That's not gospel. You know, how about that Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have trouble. He said, but Lord, but I want to follow you. And you're already telling me like what's going to happen in the world? Yeah. In this world, you're going to have trouble. He said, be brave. I have overcome. So He's saying, you're going to follow me. I'm going to teach you how you can overcome adversity in this life. See, I find encouragement when I hear Jesus, when I hear God saying, like, even though I go through the, like David said, I go through the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Because He's there. He still has a plan in place, even though when I don't know how it's going to unfold in my own life, in my own struggles, I'm going to trust that He's in charge. That was Job's idea, okay? Even though if He breaks me, I'm still going to hang on. I mean, I don't know how long it's going to take, Lord, but I'm still going to praise you in the storm. I find encouragement in the fact that God is still, that He still has a plan, even in my painful situation. Because if He's truly in control, then I must know that there's a plan in place. I don't know it. My thoughts are not His. My understanding is, I mean, it's painful, Lord, you know it, but I'm going to trust that you still have a plan in place for me. We must always remember that God, the God we worship, He can make something beautiful out of a mess, out of an ugly situation. We see that through Scripture. We've seen that even in your own life. If I gave you the chance today to come and testify about how God has transformed something nasty in your life. I mean, we just heard Marty. How He was able to take away something that He was being carrying for so long. Only God can do that. You can take all the medicine in the world and go through all the psychologists. They're not going to... They can kind of help you a little bit, but to take that thing away... The God that we worship, He can do it. Because He created a whole universe out of nothing. All He had to say is like, let there be. And that's the God that we profess to worship. So if I know that even though I'm going through the trials, He's in charge. Lord, you know it's a mess right now. I don't know how we're even going to fix that. But you do. And let me just hang on to the fact that you are in control, and in a moment you can just change the situation. But if I learned in my own life, when God doesn't change my situation, you know what He changes? My perception, how I perceive that. When He doesn't change your situation, He's gonna change you how you look at the situation, and you're gonna see the situation through His own eyes. He does that too. Paul, we talked about this morning, Paul preached to God for 3 times and his prayer was not even answered. The apostle Paul, the guy who also did miracle, 3 times he prayed to God to remove this pain in the side that he called it. Paul understood that if God, you see, I can be more effective if you just eliminate that from me. That's what he understood. And I asked you 3 times to remove it, but the answer was, my grace is sufficient to you, because when you are weak, I am strong. And sometimes we go through that. It's like, you know, He allows us to go through that. And Paul later on said, you know, the reason that God laid that thorn in the flesh is that I do not become boastful. That I don't brag about, you know, it's like, because it's not about me, it's about Him. And God will use that to keep you down. Because it's not about you. And He's still working on you. Even it might be painful. It was painful for the apostles. It's going to be painful for us. Now, another thing about trials. This might be shocking to you. The writers of the New Testament, followers of Jesus, they view trials as something necessary. It's like, I mean, you need trials. Really? They view trials as something necessary in order for you to grow. To grow and develop you into the people that God wants you to become. That's how they view trials. And that's what some of them would say. Rejoice when you face all kinds of trials. I mean, you gotta be out of your mind. Rejoicing, really? And you know what they meant, really? Was you and I do not rejoice when we get painful situations. But they rejoice because they already see the outcome. And we're going to look at a text in James 1 today. So they view trials, difficulty, adversity, as something that you're going to need in order for you to develop. I go back to the story of why do we go to school? They're training us. It's not fun to go to school. If you allow kids, if you let them, you say, you want to go to school today? They might not say no, unless they're going to go and play. The greatest subject in school for the kids that kids love more is recess. You know what I mean? Ask him. And, you know, and the homework, to bring homework, why do, and then you pass that, and you have the next grade, and you continue. I mean, later on, you're educating them. But that's going to be painful for them. Like, they'd rather play video game all day long and eat ice cream and hot dogs and mac and cheese. I mean, that'd be Josiah's ideal world. But, you know, you ain't playing video games until you show me that you're doing your homework. And if you got bad report at school, no video game for you that week. And I don't know how some parents don't, like, I don't, like, I cannot get my kids to do the homework. Who's the parent there, I want to ask? I mean, seriously, it's like, show me. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, as long as you live in this house and you pay the bills, you got to operate by our rules. I mean, I don't know what rules you got, but that's our rule in our house. But, you know what I mean? Like, that's painful today. They don't understand that you got to go through those educational things, and then tomorrow you get a better job. If you don't get an education, don't expect, you know, that might be painful right now, but tomorrow you see, oh, now I accomplished that. You can rejoice with the outcome, the same way you rejoice with the outcome. Writers of the New Testament, they view it more like an opportunity for you to grow through those trials, to develop. Like I said, that was the idea of no pain, no gain. Let's go to James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. I want to show you the viewpoint of James, Peter, and Paul in terms of like how they view trials and see what we can learn about this man. In the book of James, chapter 1, he said, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Other translation would say, count it all joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of all kinds. You see, a lot of people misinterpret that because they think that James is saying is, oh, you have something bad happened to you? Be happy. That's not what he's saying. I mean, honestly, who of us be happy when something bad happens to us? Why he's saying, consider it pure joy whenever, because, this is the grammar, because of what they're going to produce in you later. That's why you go through, you know, and you consider it a joy to go through that because the outcome. It's the outcome that will cause the joy in your life. It's a counter appeal joy consider whenever you face trials of many kinds because the testing of your faith, you see the trials, what they do is they come to test your faith. Whatever you believe in this life is going to be tested. I mean, you want to drive, you had to go through a couple of tests. One is written, one is you got to practice it. Oh, you ain't driving. Everything that we believe will be tested. And sometimes the trials will be the instrument, the means by which you go through those tests. So the faith, our belief in Jesus is tested by the trials to see how much really we believe in Him. He said the testing of your faith produces perseverance, endurance. You want a great faith, but you got to go through those trials. You don't know how strong your faith is until you have gone through trials. I mean, it's easy to believe in God when we come to church on Sunday morning, isn't it? But how about when you gotta go to work and people don't even like you because you are a Christian? It can be a little harder there. But there, like, you still believe in God. You still persevere. He says, consider it pure joy when you face trials because the testing of your faith, your faith being tried, tested, is gonna produce the word they're producing. The outcome of that testing of the faith is gonna be perseverance. You're gonna be enduring. And then when perseverance has completed their work, you will be more mature, not lacking anything. So if we go back, James is saying, maturity, for you to be more mature, you have to have gone through all those trials. You have to show perseverance. You don't give up, that you're still standing despite the pain and suffering you go through in this life. And yes, it's not fun to go through those trials and painful situations, but at the end of the day, you realize I'm still standing. By the grace of God, sometimes we say, because really He's the one keeping you. You are persevering, you are enduring. And it's almost you're working perseverance out. You know, you develop, you're coming up with big perseverance muscle because your faith is being tested. You're going through that painful situation, and I was like, you see, I can and then what happens is, you persevere that, tomorrow the trials is like intensified. And the little ones don't bother you anymore. Now they're bigger ones because now you're bigger. Are you with me? You understand? Like, the perseverance now is huge. And it doesn't bother you. You're more mature. You handle those things. Because you have developed those spiritual muscles that you need. But in order for you to develop them, you got to go through those trials. You got to hit the gym. And that's faith. When you go through those painful things, it hits you. It's like, I mean, you don't know how strong your faith is until you have gone through the trials. Like I said, you realize like, wow, you know, I went through that and I'm still praising the Lord. It was painful to lose my job and my house. I didn't know how I was going to pay the bills. You know, my husband left me, but just, I was still hanging on to God and a blessing came out of that mess. Perseverance is developed because of those trials you go through in life. Trials are a test of your faith. They will develop your faith all the way to maturity. You see, there's purpose in the trials. You see it even right there. Now, I'm not saying all the trials are going to be for that, but God has a plan. We saw the different areas that He allows certain things to happen to develop people to help so that we can learn how to help other people as well and for His glory ultimately. James, that's what James says. I consider it pure joy when I face trials because of what they produce in me. What they're going to do is my faith is going to grow. You see, sometimes we as Christians, we want to have strong faith. And yes, reading the Bible is useful. It's beneficial for you to develop this faith. But also, there's the application part of that. That faith is going to be developed when you go through those trials. There were so many people in the Bible that Jesus, every time He did a miracle, He says, your faith has done that. This woman had to clear her way. She'd been suffering for 12 years. And she said, if I just can just grab the mantle of Jesus' tunic, I'd be healed. She got to clear the crowd. She had to continue going. And finally, she found Jesus and she did it. And she received that. But it wasn't easy. She didn't have a clear path to get to Jesus. Zacchaeus had to get into a tree trying to see Jesus. There's always trials that we're going to go through. But those trials will develop our faith. It will creating us more patience, more perseverance, more endurance. We'll be able to handle more things. Because more things will come. And ultimately, we'll be more mature. We'll be more like the people that God wants us to become. Now, in 1 Peter Peter, just keep on flipping. You got your Bible, flipping pages to your left, and you get to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. I want to read from 3 through 7. This is what the Apostle Peter said. Praise be to God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us a new birth into the living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into the inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power unto the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed. And then he says, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a while you might have to have suffered grief in all kinds of trials. And then this is Peter's perspective. These have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes, even though refined by fire, may be proven genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Peter said that the trials that you and I go through, Gen view is a test of your faith. Peter said, they're trying to find out how genuine, how true your faith is. So you're going through the trials to see really how good of a Christian you are. Or how strong really that faith that you profess to have. Let me see how genuine it is. You know, because today everybody says that they're Christians. And sometimes you can tell whether they're a Christian or not by how they deal with in those trials. You understand what I'm saying now? So Peter said, these trials, yes, for now you might have to suffer great trials. And he uses the analogy of gold being refined by fire. So in this case, the whole idea of faith is that faith is like gold. You want faith, the gold to be shiner, take it through the fire, refine it. So it's our faith, when we go through the trial, it's almost like that it's being refined. So that at the end of the day, at the end of that process, our faith is shinier than ever. So you go through that to show how genuine your faith truly is. Job understood that idea of refined by fire. You always hear that in the Bible. Now, you and I understand it's not fun to go through the refinery. It's not fun because we're the metal being, you know, in the fire. It's never fun to... But what they accomplish at the end is worth rejoicing because you'll be more purified. Refiner's fire we sang about today. Job said it this way. In Job chapter 23, verse 10, he said, but he knows the way that I take. When he has tested me, I will come forth as gold. Now, this is a man, you know, all the painful things, scraping himself with pieces of pottery because he was in agony and pain. He said, when I have gone through the test, I'm going to come out as gold. Job still saw hope. He still found hope in the midst of the suffering and pain that he went through. Even though his wife was not on the same page as he, in terms of suffering, Job was hanging on to God. He knew this idea of being refined by fire, our faith. You know, you go through the trials will be used to purify your faith, to see how strong it is. I did a sermon a long time ago, and the title was simple. It's easy to have faith when things go well in your life. And it's not easy to have faith when things get bad and nasty. And when that moment comes, that's when the faith is being tested. And when you overcome that struggle, that issue, that trial, you find yourself saying, you know, I'm stronger now in the Lord. My faith is stronger because of that. Joseph's faith and character in God was built up because he went through all those trials, even with his own family. Genuine faith brings honor and glory to God. Look at what Peter said. He says, so that your faith, these have come, verse 7, so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proven genuine and may result in the praise, glory, and honor of God. So when you have shown the world that your faith is authentic, it's for real, God is going to get the glory. Because you went through those trials. Sometimes the world doesn't understand when Christians go through that. And they say to you, how in the world were you able to stand? Man, if that would have happened to me, I would just go on crazy. They don't understand that you operate by a different standard. They don't understand that God is the one in control of your trials. And you're handling things the God way. And they don't understand when you have peace in the midst of suffering and pain. They don't. I mean, even Paul said that even when we grieve differently. The world's like, how can you just be cool, calm, when the whole world around you is falling apart? And you got to tell, because I have a different medicine than yours. Mine's called Jesus. And he's holding me together in the midst of these trials and tribulation, because he's doing something that I don't even know what it is yet, but eventually I get to find out. And it's going to be all for his glory. Like Joseph, blessed be your name. Praise the God who gives and takes away. Paul's view of trial, Romans 5:1. We read some of that this morning already. 5, verse 3, he says, not only that, not only so, but we also rejoice. Now, the NIV says rejoice. That translation there doesn't really say rejoice. What it says is glory. If you have a different Bible, it says we glory. In other words, what Paul is saying here, instead of you take the rejoice part, he says, well, now, because we know, not only so, but we also glory, we also boast in our suffering. Can you imagine that? Somebody said that you're going to boast, brag about your suffering? And he would do that because of what they're going to accomplish. This is what Paul said. In our verse 3, Romans 5:3, he says, not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us. So there it is again, some of the things that those trials and tribulation will produce in you. Character, to be a better man or woman. Endurance. Some translation would say steadfastness. That's what you're going to develop all through the trials. In other words, you're never going to develop perseverance unless you go through some trials and tribulations. And then hope does not, there's still hope. I mean, it almost sounds like a controversy. How are you going to have hope when you're going through that? He says, I mean, my hope is going to be greater now because I'm going through that. That's what Paul is saying. And he says, I boast about my suffering. Suffering, the word there for suffering is tribulation, affliction, distress. That produces perseverance. Perseverance will produce, or the outcome of perseverance, you can say, is character. And then character, after you have developed that character or maturity, then you're going to have this hope. He said, hopeful people, it's because they have developed their character. You are more hopeful when you have trained to persevere in life. You see, there is hope and there is purpose in the trials. I was doing some research, and it's interesting. Let me see how well you know New Yorkers. The Brooklyn Bridge was built in May 24, 1883. Now, at that time, there were not a lot of bridges like the Brooklyn Bridge around here. And some of the New Yorkers at that time, they were a little hesitant to get on the bridge because that was kind of one of a kind. And they didn't know if it was going to hold, you know, the way that people were trying to, you know, is it going to be transport vehicles and people. I mean, like, people were hesitant in 1883. May 24th, 1883. Now, there was a circus that came in town, and they said, you know, we can do a test. We can test that bridge to see how strong it is. And he decided, I can walk all my elephants on the bridge. And you can research that on Google. There were 21 elephants, 17 camels going through the Brooklyn Bridge, and, you know, with a whole circus, and then people walking on it. And then they went through, and they did that in May 17, 1884. And the news, the New York Times, like, the elephants. So it was like 21 elephants and still standing. That was like in a magazine during the time. They did it, and then the public was like, I guess it's a great bridge, because it was tested to see how strong it was. Getting 21 elephants and 17 camels and a whole bunch of people walking on it, it's like still standing. And you see, it's been 100-some years, and we still have the bridge. It hasn't fallen. It hasn't fallen. But those elephants tested the quality, the strength of the bridge, and people at the end is like, okay, we can go through now. It's safe. Trials do that to us. They test how strong really we are in the Lord. God has a purpose in trials, difficult times, and the difficult times we face in this life. They come to test how genuine, how true of a Christian you truly are. And recapping what we've been discussing, you see, you and I profess to be believers in Christ. We profess to worship this God. But those trials will come to test our faith, to really see how much really we believe in God. We pray and we still hang on to Him, even when we do not see the answer. See, God uses these trials to build our character, to refine our faith, to build us as the people that He expects us to become. He took the Israelites 40 years in the desert, wandering to build them so that when they would get there, they can always look back and like, yeah, God was working us. It wasn't pretty. We had to eat manna for like a whole bunch of time. But He was developing us so that when we got to the promised land, we would never remember. And now we're better people because of what He allowed to happen in our lives. God allowed those things to make us more like Jesus so that we'd be more like our Creator. Like I said, the writers of the New Testament, they view trials more as a necessity in order for us to grow as individual, a necessity in order for us to be developed into the men and women that He expects us to become. I look at my own life. You see, I am who I am today because God placed a lot of people in my own life, but I had to go through a lot of trials in order for me to get over here and preach to people. I did not. There was a lady one time, she said like, wow, you were so shy, because that's true, I was shy. I didn't want to speak to people. Somebody taught me how to play this musical instrument called the accordion, and I just played for me. I didn't want people to see me play because it was just for me. But then they were teaching me, and you know, and it was painful to me to get in front of people and kind of like, but it took the fear away. He prepared me to be here today and preach to people. I didn't want to be a preacher in the first place, and here I am today. God took me through a lot of trials and things to show me, and He's still doing that, so that I can continue to be more mature, so I can continue to be the man that He has called me to be. But that's going to require a lot of, you know, stressful situations and tough times in this life. It's not fun to go through the refinery, but after we have gone through it, you and I will come out shinier than ever. You and I will come out more developed, full grown, with spiritual muscle that will handle anything that this world will throw at you. God is always working in us, even in those painful situations. I want to close with Max Lucado. He has a book that I think the women were going to do it, and also the men one time, maybe a year ago. And the book is called You'll Get Through This. That's the title of the book. You'll Get Through This. And in the book he said this: you'll get through this. It won't be painless. It won't be quick. But God will use this mess for good. See, you and I need to understand that despite whatever it is we go through in life, God's still at work, even when you might not feel Him. And just find out what it is at the end. He's going to have you look back like, thank you, Lord. It was painful, but you allowed that. But look where I am today because of that trial that you brought me to. So He has a plan and purpose for you, even when it's painful, even when you don't even know how you're going to get out of that situation. The thing is, if He's in control, what you need to take home today, He's not done with you. He's a refiner's fire. You're going through that right now, perhaps. He's not done. I just remember that analogy, and the praise team can make their way. One time somebody was looking at this silversmith working through, you know, the silver, and he was just like taking the metal into the fire. And he asked this question, well, how do you know? You know, if you let that metal in the fire for too long, it will melt. It will ruin it. It will damage it. But if you take it out too early, it will not accomplish that purpose. How would you know when the metal is ready to be taken out of the fire? The silversmith said this: when I see my image in the metal, then I know it's ready. Sometimes we go through those trials because God still wants to place His image in us. And until that image of the Son, Jesus Christ, is not in us, we will be going through that. And then when we're already fully developed, then we're taken out. I mean, He has a plan for you and I, even in the midst of the trials. Would you pray with me? Father God, thank you so much that you love us.